Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, Bucknutters. It is Thursday, May 21st, 2020. I am Dan Rubin. This is the Bucknuts Morning 5 and Change. If you were listening before we were recording, Steve and I did an entire show already, but I digress. If you have yet to sign up for our text alerts, they are free to all registered members of the site. You will get all breaking news on there. We also need you to go give us a 5-star review on iTunes if you haven't done so as yet. And we have a 60% off deal going for those who want to join and get a VIP membership. If you had done so, you would have access to people like 24/7 Sports Director of Recruiting, Steve Wiltfong. Steve, how goes it?
Good morning, Daniel. Doing great. Excited to be on to talk Ohio State football recruiting as the Buckeyes continue to be in the middle of it for many of the nation's best prospects.
The top 247 was updated yesterday with a focus on defense. I would like you to talk about the high riser from Ohio State, Mike Hall. In celebration of the rankings, I went back and looked at his video. I think sometimes when guys commit to Ohio State early on in the process, especially if they're in-state, maybe we lose a little luster on them. Talk about Mike Hall and why you guys moved him up the way you did.
Well, we're, as you said, we're kind of doing a deep dive on the defensive position and really digging into the film again and digging into information and digging into analytics. And when I say analytics, digging into – you know, weight, heights and weights and productivity of prospects that were drafted and going back and looking at what they looked like as juniors and seniors in high school. And then comparing those profiles to guys that are currently juniors going to be seniors in high school. And, you know, Mike Hall has a profile that says he's going to get drafted very high. I mean, when you talk about the measurements he has, and then you turn on the tape and you compare it to tape. I mean, he's incredibly quick. I mean, his get off the snap, his hands, these are natural abilities that he has too. And so he'll continue to progress, you know, as a football player, as anyone does the more years they play. But I mean, he just brings some traits to the game when he rolls out of bed that are just natural that other people don't. And then another thing that kind of stands out about Mike Hall is just his age in general. I mean, you could easily stick Mike Hall in this 2022 class instead of 2021. He's one of the younger guys in this class. And so with that, you're still saying he's still got even more in the tank on the prep level before he even gets to Ohio State from just a pure maturation standpoint. So Mike Hall seems like one of the no-brainers in this class. And if Ohio State can add Tywan Malone, who even talking to a coach yesterday on the next level, that's not even in the mix for Tywan Malone, saying he's better than what y'all give him credit for. And that's kind of like the way the colleges, like I know the fans get all in a dither and think that there's a bias against their team or whatnot. We're just trying to get it right. I like the way that coach said it yesterday. Yeah, Tywan Malone's probably a little better than you give him credit for. Because we're giving him credit. I mean, we think he's, you know, 110 or whatever we have Tywan Malone, but that coach thinks he's better than that. So that was the way he enunciated it. And I thought it was funny. But if Ohio State can add those two on the interior with Jack Sawyer and Tunmisi and possibly JT as well, you know, this is a really, really special potential defensive line haul.
I'm trying to think of a defensive tackle prospect I like better than Mike Hall in recent memory, and I'm struggling. As 24/7 divided and conquered the release, your deal was the top players that are uncommitted and where they're leaning. Thankfully, it felt like an Ohio State article. Can you touch on the Ohio State points from that piece?
Well, JT, I put a crystal ball to Ohio State this week with a 5 confidence rating. I'm never going to log a pick without at least a 5 confidence rating, or I feel like you're still in that foggy era. Now, if I have a young man that's like an 8 or a 9 on the confidence rating, and then that changes, I don't mind going to a 1 or a 2 later, as recruitings or recruitments are fluid. But I think Ohio State's in a good spot for JT at this point. I don't know if it's like the exact ideal situation he's looking for. I think if you were to ask them, this is just me speculating, if you were to say, I think he would love to see better defensive line development out in his neck of the woods. And then it would just be easier for him to decide on a school closer to home. But Ohio State player development, and what they've done on the field in the win-loss column and in the big games and the big stage that Ohio State plays on, with an opportunity to play for arguably the best defensive line coach in college football, I think that he, you know, would sacrifice distance for that as it stands right now. And so I think it's up to the other schools to prove, hey, you can maximize your potential here. And so we'll see if that happens. Emeka Egbuka, Ohio State is my prediction, confidence level 8. I feel really good about it. I feel about as good as you can about where Ohio State stands for Emeka Egbuka without like catching word or catching wind that he's going to go to Ohio State for sure. So that's why I have an 8 in there for Emeka. He's still talking to Washington, of course, Oklahoma and Clemson. So we'll see how his recruitment goes moving forward. But I think that Ohio State's got a comfortable lead for Emeka Egbuka. And then J.C. Latham, I think that one's tight, to be honest, Dan. I mean, I still have my Ohio State pick for the Buckeyes, but Alabama's making a maneuver there. Evan Neal, who played at Bradenton IMG Academy the year before, starts all 13 games as a true freshman at Alabama. I think that that link between JC and Evan is helping Alabama. In addition to, I mean, you talk about the defensive line development at Ohio State, and the offensive line development at Alabama right now is second to none. When you're talking about guys getting drafted high year after year after year at that position, it's an attractive place. And then LSU's in the middle of that recruitment. They just won the Joe Moore Award and had a few guys drafted and obviously won the national title. And they've done a good job of having that relationship with JC. And then Oklahoma is another school that I think there's an intrigue level with. And that all offensive linemen should consider Oklahoma when you talk about what they've done with getting guys drafted in a similar fashion to Alabama. And believe it or not, it's been Alabama and Oklahoma, maybe some other schools that have had more draft success as of late than Wisconsin, who would be like the school the layman would pick, which school has developed the best offensive lineman. I think the layman would say Wisconsin, and certainly they've done a great job, and so has Iowa and some of those places. But it's really been Alabama and Oklahoma right now.
Should wait for the draft we have coming up when Wyatt Davis and Josh Myers both possibly get picked in the first round. I think they're going to be the first guard and first center off the board. They'll certainly help recruiting.
I hope you're right based on our rankings, man, because I think we had Wyatt as our number one guard. And then Josh Myers, I know we had as a 5-star coming out. I think I'm going back and double. Nope, we did not. He was our number 2 guard. He was our number 2 offensive guard. So I'm correcting myself on the air here, guys.
The idea of Mike Cahal, Jack Sawyer, and JT Tumalau with Tunisi Adeleye and possibly Taiwan Malone in the same class is just borderline insane. We are going to take a quick break, come back, and hit some of the Q&A submissions you guys gave us.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
We are back. Once again, Dave, Bill, and I will be putting up a thread before every BM5 asking for your questions so we can make sure to hit on the topics you want to talk about with our guests. We will begin today with Ebron84. Steve, do you think Hudson Wolf, the tight end prospect from, is it Kentucky or it's Tennessee? I always get Kentucky.
He's from Tennessee.
Yep, I get those states confused often. Does he have a chance of getting a 4-star when the rankings update comes in June? By the way, RecruitNicks, these updates will come the third Wednesday of every month. Do you think Hudson Wolf has a chance to get a 4-star when the rankings update comes in June? It seems like he's been valued by a lot of schools.
He's definitely valued by a lot of schools. He's a coveted recruit. My crystal ball is on Ohio State. And I like that pick. But Barton Simmons, our director of scouting, although he likes Hudson Wolf, unless he gets another opportunity to see him, I don't see Hudson getting a bump. If you read his player evaluation on his profile, whether you agree with Barton or not, he puts in there his evaluation of him, and I could read it here if you want me to. But I think he explains why Hudson Wolf is ranked where he's ranked, and then it's up to y'all to just agree or disagree with his eye on it.
Steve, if you look at what Ohio State has done with 20, 21, and then 22, how much have they separated themselves from the rest of the Big Ten? And if the other schools aren't developing at the same rate, that increases the gap. Your vibe on Ohio State's status within its league?
Well, I think that they're continuing to – I mean, I don't know how much more talented Ohio State can get. I think they keep maintaining – they keep maintaining how good a football team they are. And obviously we know the player development's going to be fantastic there. And anytime they step on the field in a game in the Big Ten, they're going to be the more talented team. I think that if they show up to play, they're going to win the football game. I still think that Penn State is recruiting at a level and developing at a level that allows them to be competitive with Ohio State. I don't know if that will change over the next couple of years. For Penn State, there's no room for error with, so Penn State, their recruiting isn't about who they missed. It's about who they got and if they missed within that, if that makes sense. And so, Are they recruiting guys that have the upside and the mental toughness? And when I say mental toughness, like Penn State's obviously not scared of Ohio State right now. You know what I mean? And so are they going to continue to recruit guys that fit that? You know, because for instance, like Michigan State, there was a time where they were in that mold, but now they're not. And so can Penn State continue to sustain where their place in college football? Can they go? They're trying to take it up another level now too. They're not just trying to sustain their spot, but they've recruited, in my opinion, at a level that keeps them in the conversation of they're getting top 15 classes, but then I think they're turning them into top 10 football teams. If that makes sense, do you agree with that? And so with that, they deserve to be on the same field with Ohio State, but they're always going to be the underdog. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. I think you crushed that. The guy who does the Michigan podcast, I believe his name is Steve Deese, a good point on this, and that there's never going to be a time, because there never has been, that Ohio State isn't one of the better teams in the Big Ten. It's just there have been eras where other teams come up and run with them, like you said about Michigan State, Michigan and Penn State. So good to be king. Steve, do you believe, it's from Bob the Buckeye 59, I think this is a general question that a lot of people have. When visits start back up, do you think there's going to be a national flurry of decommitments?
I don't think kids should decommit, even though they're going to take visits. I think schools are going to understand that these are different circumstances. So for the reasons why they committed are the reasons why they should stay committed while they're looking around or double checking their work. I do think that there will be some decommitments for sure. I do think that there'll be some schools that will want decommitments because they just took guys too in the moment that aren't necessarily guys that they love. And so it's going to go both ways. I think there'll be some decommitments, but we're in uncharted water, so I couldn't like tell you exactly how it's going to go down.
Questions from Stony Rock. It is for me. Since you included yourself, blah, blah, blah. Could you give a hint on staffing since Bill G is gone? He, of course, is referring to Bill Green. I don't like to talk about staffing. As you noticed, I don't get involved in those discussions on the boards. All I can tell everybody is it is our goal to have a replacement in there as soon as possible. It's a crazy time in the business world. I hope people understand that. You know, we're going to strive to give you guys the best possible coverage and have that spot filled as soon as we can. 350ZJK says, any chance we could read the transcript tomorrow? I got to give this guy some credit. He's clearly going to post this request on every single podcast we do. So I appreciate his diligence. We have not yet found a system that can produce the transcript for us here the way we like. We will continue to look, and you will continue to post that, and we will move on. 32 Buckeye Forever is going to put you on the spot. Who will surprise us the most by filling one of the final spots of this class of 2021?
I think you guys get such great coverage at Bucknuts. I don't know if there could be a surprise name. I mean, they would have to rally for like a guy like Tristan Lay, who they're swinging hard at Tristan Lay. They would love to get him, but it seems like they're down the list. So I don't really know who
He's
to like
kid
point
from Virginia?
To. As a Yeah. And again, I don't expect him to go to Ohio State, but I think Ohio State covets him and they're recruiting him. And I think that he's going through his process slow enough that perhaps Ohio State could maybe make a move, but it's tough to say that there's going to be a surprise recruitment unless Ohio State's recruiting a guy hard right now that none of us know about. And I just couldn't speculate on that because I don't know.
Real quick, you can do the non-Buckeye. What was your all-time favorite recruitment to follow, someone who did not land at Ohio State?
I mean, my all-time favorite recruitment to follow? I'm never good at those loaded questions.
I'll just give mine then.
I would say my one of my best moments in this job. So this is a pat myself on the back moment. But I predicted Manti Te'o to Notre Dame, and I got luckily right. But I remember because it's not like anyone in the camp told me he was coming, and I was so young as a reporter in this business. I don't even remember how long ago it was, but Manti Te'o's recruitment was wild. And there were people that thought he was going to LA. He was the overwhelming favorite going into the decision. And it was almost like you had to, when he announced for Notre Dame during a live broadcast from Hawaii on ESPN from like this humongous, he wasn't even like the featured guy. Like everyone got their same moment at this big thing that they do in Hawaii for the prospects. And when he picked Notre Dame, it almost didn't even sound right. But I got the prediction right. Luckily, it wasn't even based on any like inside information. I couldn't even tell you in hindsight why I picked Notre Dame. He took his official visit to Notre Dame, for the, Syracuse game when Notre Dame lost and their students were throwing snow at the sideline. But I do know Charlie Weiss and Notre Dame recruited him as hard as anybody. And people kind of forget, like Urban Meyer, Charlie Weiss, and Pete Carroll are like the three head coaches that come to mind for me that were outworking the other head coaches, that they put rules in place to kind of stop those guys from outworking their peers, to level the playing field for their peers as far as contact head coaches can have. And Charlie, He obviously had he had more of a affinity for the offensive side of the ball, where Pete Carroll and Urban Meyer, they're two of the all-time greats, and Coach Weiss isn't. But it wasn't for lack of effort from Coach Weiss.
I'll give you two Buckeye recruitments that I really enjoyed. One was Jerome Baker out of Cleveland Benedictine, because if you remember, he originally committed to Florida and I was crushed. And then he came back to the right side and picked the Buckeyes. The other one was Von Bell, because that is one of the announcements I watched on television where nobody really knew where he was going. I don't think there was a ton of confidence he was coming to Ohio State.
Ohio State didn't know he was coming. I remember. Yeah.
And then he put on the correct hat. So that was super cool. Got to be like a fan and get my heart in my throat. So that was awesome. All right, last question. And we're going to go through this a little more quickly than we would otherwise. It's a three-part question. Just give your initial vibe, and then maybe we'll come back next week and put some meat on it. Who is a better quarterback prospect, C.J. Stroud or Kyle McCord?
Well, I would go with C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud, I think, is like the number four player, number six player in my own personal rankings. Obviously, I gave him a higher bump because he's a quarterback. And then I also believe that Ryan Day and Ohio State will get the best out of him. I like Kyle McCord. I just don't see him in the same way that I see C.J. Stroud.
Better offensive line prospect, Paris Johnson or J.C. Latham?
I would give the slight edge to Paris Johnson. But there are some college coaches that will tell you that, I shouldn't say some. One college coach yesterday said that J.C. Latham is the best offensive line prospect he's seen in the last 5 years. So that would include Paris Johnson, obviously. And then I know that J.C. Latham is a guy that's at like the very top of several boards, regardless of position. I don't know if Paris Johnson ever was that with guys like Brian Brzee and some of those cats running around last cycle.
Better defensive line prospect, Jack Sawyer or Nick Bosa?
I think we talked about this last week. It's not almost not fair for Jack, who's a good prospect, and hindsight being 2020 on Bosa. I mean, Bosa was 260 pounds in high school and just kind of a freak. I mean, it's not fair to ask that. It would be more like Brian Brzee's in that same realm, but not many people are that. Like Brian Brzee is a guy that we franchised with our rating of him of over 100. I don't think we'll franchise Jack Sawyer, but that still doesn't mean he won't be a first round draft pick.
So we started hearing about Nick Bosa earlier than almost any other recruit ever because Joey was en route, and because of his legacy status, his uncle being Eric Kumerow, his father, John Bosa, was a New Englander that was picked in the first round out of Boston College. I do remember the St. Thomas Aquinas football coach, and by the way, we all know the list of players that have come out of there. He said Nick was the best football player he'd ever coached in high school. And he said that, first of all, football coaches don't like to come out and say stuff like that. And he said it when Joey was still at Ohio State. And then I watched the Super Bowl, and I thought he was the best player on the field. We appreciate Steve's effort, especially doing two shows today, one for me in my house and then one for y'all. Have a good one, Bucknutters.
Take care, y'all. See you in the front row.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.